In the beginning of time, He was the Creator. Into existence He spoke the heavenly blue. With one mighty swoop of His hand, He threw out the stars, knew where they'd land. So if you think you're just drifting along, I have good news. And if He hung the moon, I know He will help you. And if He holds the sparrow in flight, He'll hold you too. Consider the lilies of the field, how much more He loves you. In the beginning of time, you were on His mind when He hung the moon. Now you may feel like the world weighs hard on your shoulders, and even your closest friend in life is pulling away. Though you have tried so hard and lost, there is still hope. Look to His cross. There you will see just how much the Savior really loves you today. And if He hung the moon, I know He will help you. And if He holds the sparrow in flight, He'll hold you too. Consider the lilies of the field, how much more He loves you. In the beginning of time, you were on His mind when He hung the moon. In the beginning of time, you were on His mind when He hung the moon.
All right, thank you, Brother Green. Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning, 1 Corinthians 15. And 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. If you're a child of God this morning, I think that you're quite aware the signs of the times are leading to the coming of Jesus Christ. And may I say to you this morning that it is nearer than what we first believed. It's very close. We are at the door. The time is at hand. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about that this morning. 1 Corinthians 15, if you'll start reading with me in verse number 51. Would you stand with me? Let's stretch our legs just a moment this morning and then stand with me out of love and respect for the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 51 and read down through verse number 54. Paul writing here says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. If you'll notice in the passage there, Paul does not want us, God does not want us to be ignorant. He said, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but glory to God, we shall all be changed. And then turn, if you would, over to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse number 14. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse number 14. Paul, once again, writing to the Thessalonians, says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Those words he's talking about is about the coming, the hope of the coming of Jesus Christ. When this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, and we shall forever be with the Lord. And I want you to go back, if you would, to verse number 16, and I want you to underline the two little words, a shout. And I want to preach to you this morning on the final shout. The final shout. Now, Father, bless us. Open our hearts to what you have for us this morning. There's no question in my mind that the coming of Jesus is at the threshold. I believe, Lord, that it may be possible that some of us, under the sound of my voice this morning, may be alive when the Lord returns in the eastern sky. But for those of us, Lord, who may go on in death, we have the promise and the hope that you shall also bring us with you, and that we shall meet you in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Thank you for that blessed hope. Thank you, Lord, for the promise of eternal life and forever with the Lord in heaven, incorruptible, immortal, forever. Thank you for your goodness to teach us something, we ask, Holy Spirit, this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. May I say, in times past, a loud shout and the use of a trumpet preceded the entry of great people and royalty. It was announcement of the arrival of someone worthy of our attention. Today, we don't necessarily shout or use a trumpet to announce dignitaries, but we do use announcements and sometimes music that precedes the entry of dignitaries, for instance, like our president. The shout and trumpet is used to get the attention of those who are prepared and waiting for the arrival of the person of importance. You see, a shout and a trumpet will mean nothing to those who are not ready and waiting. For instance, how many of you realize that the President of the United States was in the Dallas-Fort Worth area this week? Okay, look, just a handful of people. Most of the Metroplex didn't even realize the President was even here. Now you say, well, preacher, why were most of the people not aware that the President had come? Why? Because most of us didn't hear anything about it, nor did we see anything about it. We were totally oblivious to the coming of the most powerful individual on planet Earth. We didn't know anything about it. Can I say something to you this morning? Jesus will return as well, and he's going to receive his followers one day, and he will re-enter And the problem is, a lot of the people won't even know that He came. You see, His re-entry will be preceded by a shout of an archangel and the sounding of a trumpet of God. The announcement will be for the recognition of royalty and the appearance of a king. You see, when the Scripture talks about this shout, that shout we're talking about in verse number 16 is a cry of excitement. It's a cry of joy. Listen, folks, everything is funneling toward this one event right now. Everything in mankind is funneling toward the second coming of Jesus Christ. And it will be announced with a shout and with the sound of a trumpet to get the attention of His followers. Now, I believe that every believer will hear His shout in their own language. I believe it's going to be no question when Jesus comes back. He's not trying to play hide and seek. When He comes back this next time, every born-again believer will know what's taking place. Now, I want you to think about this for just a few moments. Jot down a few things while you're turning to John chapter 10, if you would, please. Turn to the Gospel of John, chapter number 10. Because I want to say, first of all, about this final shout. I believe without any question, according to John chapter 10, that there will be no hearing by fakers. I said, the fakers will not hear anything. You say, well, how do you know that, preacher? Well, let's go back to John chapter 10 and find out what He taught His disciples. John 10 verse 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold. By the way, stop, who's the door? Who's He talking about? Is He talking about salvation by grace through faith in Christ? Absolutely He is. He said, if you're going to get into the fold, you're going to have to come through the door. Now, for those of you that may not be familiar with the Bible, let me say this. There's only one way of salvation. There's not multiple ways. There's not a way for each denomination or for each group of people. Or may I say, there's not a different way of salvation for each dispensation either. Amen. What I'm saying is there's always been one way, one plan with one purpose. Now, He says, if you're going to get into sheepfold, you're going to have to come by the door. He says, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep do what? Hear whose voice? Stop. Hear whose voice? The shepherd's voice. Who's the shepherd? He said, it's my sheep that hear my voice. Let's follow on. And he calleth his own by, oh, look at here, by name. You say, preacher, are you saying that when the Lord returns that and that during the shout, are you saying that you may hear your name? What did he say? Anybody in here know shepherds that name sheep and call them fuzzy and squiggle and tiny and who? The shepherd's not going around and naming their sheep. They're just sheep. But this situation, Jesus is talking about His return. And He says, when He calls, He will call them by what? By name. So I don't know. I'm just saying that when the coming of the Lord and the shout takes place, He's going to call them by name and leadeth them out. And when He putteth forth His own sheep, He goeth before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. That means the fakers aren't going to hear anything. Did you know there's a lot of people out there that are faking it? Listen, I'll just go a step further. Did you know that there are churches, Baptist churches, and churches of all denominations, where there's a church full of people today that are fakers? You say, well, preacher, they look the part. Since when does looking the part make you saved? Hey, listen, I wonder if the sound of the trumpet sound and the voice of the archangel shout today, I wonder how many people would still be left in these pews. You see, the fakers aren't going to hear anything at all. They won't hear a voice. They won't hear the shout. They won't hear the trumpet announcement. They will not hear the shout of joy by the believers. You say, are believers going to shout when they go up? Well, I don't know. when you see something exciting and you see something that stirs you, what do? You keep your mouth closed? I don't think so. I think when we see him, there's going to be a shout. There's going to be excitement. You see, fakers, professors, imitators, hecklers will have a deaf ear to the coming of Jesus Christ and a blind eye to that majestic return. You see, it'll not be long, though, after Jesus' return that people will begin to realize and figure out what's happened. Because there's going to be a lot of people that that know a little bit about the Bible. That ain't going to take them long to figure out what's taking place. But I'm just here to tell you that when that final shout takes place, some will hear it and some will not. I believe God will turn a deaf ear to those who are without Christ, fakers, professors, and not possessors. You see, can you imagine that incredible, unbelievable feeling to know that you've been left behind? Now, I've used this illustration before, but I'll use it again. I have five children. You know, when you have five children and all at home at the same time, sometimes it's hard to keep up with everybody. And particularly when you go out shopping or you go out to a restaurant but this didn't take place at a restaurant. This didn't take place out shopping. This took place in this church. Several years ago, we were all gathering to get ready to go home. My youngest son was just a little bitty guy at that time. And we were sitting back here, and he stretched out on the pew, fell asleep. And so my wife and I were going about our business, and we're taking care of things and talking to people and stuff. We were in two cars, so I got a part of the kids, she got part of the kids. She thought it was me, I thought he was with her. So we get home, and my wife says, "Where's Micah? He's not with you?" "No, he's not with me." "Well, where is he?" "I don't know. I thought he was with you." "No, I thought he was with you." So for about 2 or 3 minutes, the thing is, he's not here. So help me. We came back to the church. Pitch black. Everybody's gone. I go over. The alarm was even set. I go over, cut the alarm off. I said, "Well, look, he's got to be around here somewhere." So we thought, well, if he went home with somebody, somebody will call us. Nobody called. So we came in here and we're hollering and hollering and hollering. No answer. So I cut the lights on and I walk back here, and guess where he is? Still asleep on the pew. Cold. Totally out. Now, I didn't intentionally leave him behind. But you know what? Some here this morning, by your decision about Jesus Christ, will determine whether you get left behind or not. You see, it's not a fun feeling to know that you've been left behind. Now, the thing about it is, he was asleep. He didn't even know he got left. But you know what? There's going to be a bunch of people when the shout of the archangel takes place and the trump of God, some of them don't even know they got left. Some of them are not going to hear the shout. They're not going to hear the trumpet. They're not going to hear that call, "Come up hither." I said, first of all, that there will be no hearing by fakers. Turn back, if you would, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I want to say about the final shout, not only will there be no hearing by fakers, I will say, number two, there will be no grace, no more grace for rejectors. Do you know that this morning you will be held accountable for this message and this warning about your soul? 2 Thessalonians, are you there? 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Okay, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And look at verse number 8. "And then shall that wicked be revealed." Now we're kind of into it a little bit just for sake of time in our reading. This is after the coming of Christ. "Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan." Now, doesn't this sound real exciting to be left behind? It says, "and with power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Listen now. Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now folks, it seems pretty evident to me that when the truth has been exposed to those, and Jesus comes back again, grace is over for that individual. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Don't God believe in second, third, and fourth chances? Let me ask you this. Why should you hear it twice if there's some who hadn't heard it once? You see, when the Lord comes back, you say, by that time, I'll believe. Well, wait a minute now. You didn't believe in this life. What makes you think you're going to believe after He comes? And let me tell you how I know that you're not going to believe after He comes. It's because the Scripture says the devil will send you strong delusion to where you'll believe a lie. You see, not only is there not going to be hearing by fakers, there's going to be no more grace for rejectors, those who ignored the opportunity to be saved. That's the reason, folks, this morning, you have the opportunity to come to Christ. Now, here's what we want to do. Listen, if it was left up to most of us, we'd take everybody to heaven just like they are, but God ain't that way. You can't go to heaven like you are. There has to be that corruptible puts on incorruption. The mortal has to put on immortality. Did you notice there has to be a change that takes place? You see, when the shout takes place, most of the world lost without God's not going to hear a thing. They're not going to hear their name called. And then after that shout takes place, those that have sat in a church pew and ignored opportunities, they disregarded the love of God, they will believe, listen now, too late. They'll figure out what's happened, but it's going to be too late. They live for the present without any regard for the future. You see, the thing about it, did you notice in Scripture it says, but had pleasure in unrighteousness? And it says, because they live for themselves in this life, most everybody in here, you know what the truth is. You know how to be born again. You know how to come to Christ. You say, but I just want to wait just a little bit longer. You may not have longer. You may not have time. And listen to me this morning. If you die today without Christ, it's in hell forever. Or if you're alive at the coming of Christ and you've heard the truth, you're going to be sent strong delusion to where you'll believe a lie. Damned, the Scripture says. There will be no more grace for those who have heard the truth and rejected it. You see, the rejection of God's love, the rejection of God's Son, the rejection of God's way of salvation will result in no hope after Jesus returns. You see, the reality will set in to the hearts and minds of all those who've rejected Jesus when they realize they were wrong. Can you imagine that feeling? Most of us have done some stupid things in life. If you haven't, hold on. It'll come. We've made some stupid decisions. And you know one of the things after we made the decision, whether it's a financial decision, a family decision, a church decision, spiritual decision, we made a decision and found out later we were wrong. How'd you feel about it? Did you feel excited about it? Did you have an adrenaline rush about it? Did you think, you know what? This is exciting. I'm so glad I was wrong. No, if we would have just maybe checked some things out and been right at the beginning, we wouldn't have to be in that position. I'm here to tell you today that you're under the sound of the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. If Jesus came back today and you have not received, you will be responsible for this message. You cannot, listen to me, you cannot afford to be wrong. You've only got one shot. One. Now, let me give you number three. Turn, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. I said, first of all, that there will be no hearing by fakers. Those that are lost without God, when the final shout comes, they won't hear a thing. I said, number two, for those who have rejected God's Son and rejected His love and rejected the truth and the purpose and the plan of God, and they know how to be saved, and spit in God's face and own God's love, when the final shout comes, there will be no more grace for rejectors. Number three, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from what? And shall be turned unto fables. Now, here's number three. I said there were going to be no more hearing by fakers. I said there will be no more grace for rejectors. Now listen very carefully now. There will be no more preaching by preachers. See, we come to church, we take all this for granted. We go home and say, whoop. Well, there'll come a day, if you get left behind, you ain't got to worry about this no more. You don't have to worry about any more preaching. You don't have to worry about another soul winner coming by your door anymore. You're not going to have to run anybody else off of your front porch who's there trying to get you saved and born into the family of God to keep you from dying and going to hell. You see, there's not going to be any more church services where truth is preached. There's not going to be any more visits to our homes to plead with you about your salvation. There's not going to be any more pleas from the pulpit or fiery sermons to try to convict your soul. There's not going to be any more churches to run to. You know why? Because when the final shout comes, they don't have to worry about preaching by preachers no more. And may I say this to all believers this morning? If you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 34, here's what Paul talks about. And he's telling, and in the same context that he's talking about the second coming, here's what he tells the church. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. You know what he tells them to do? He says, wake up, church. And may I say to you this morning, I want to say that those of you under the sound of my voice, can I tell you this morning, wake up. The Lord's coming. And if you wait till the final shout, it's over. You're done. He said, well, preacher, I just believe in a God of second chances. All right, wait till the shout and let's find out. Let's find out if there's going to be second and third chances. Let's find out how merciful. You say, I believe in the grace and mercy of God. I do too, for those who believe and for those who will embrace the truth and the grace of God. But today, you have no excuse if you reject the salvation of Almighty God. I said there will be no hearing by fakers. There's going to be no more grace for rejectors. There'll be no more preaching by preachers. Say, man, I'll be glad of that. You'll wish to God that there was a place for you to go to hear preaching. Because then you'll be turned over under the influence of the Antichrist. And you'll be sent strong delusion and you'll believe lie. And the scripture says you'll be damned. Damned! Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever without hope and without God. That's the reason it's the final shout. It's either up or it's not. It's either with the Lord or it's without God. It's pretty simple. Let me give you one last thing. I said there will be no more hearing by fakers. There'll be no more grace for those who reject. There'll be no preaching by preachers. But turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians 15. Turn back over there where we started. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 42. Are you there? 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It shall be raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body. And glory to God, there is a spiritual body. Here's the last thing I want to let you know. If you're a child of God this morning, the final shout, no more sorrow for true possessors. You see, there's not going to be any hearing for the fakers. They're not going to hear that shout. They're not going to hear the trumpet sound. Then if for those that know the truth and rejected it, there's going to be no more grace for rejectors. There's not going to be any more preaching by preachers. But glory to God for believers, there will be no more sorrow for true possessors. You see, the corruption will inherit incorruption. Depravity will turn to glory. The natural will take on the spiritual. Weakness will become power. Sorrow was going to be swallowed up by the security of being with Christ forever. The earthly will be exchanged for the heavenly. No more sickness, no more pain. Peace and comfort and tranquility and possession of all the promises of God, that's what awaits the possessors of Jesus Christ. You do know there's a difference between a professor and a possessor. A professor is a faker. There's a lot of people who profess, but there are few people who possess. You see, kids, a lot of times when they're small, they'll get together and pretend. They'll play games, or you know, they'll play this or play that, and they pretend to be something that they're not. When the final shout comes, you're not going to pretend. You're not going to fool your way into heaven. It's Jesus or not. It's salvation by grace through faith or not. It's the blood of Christ or not. It's coming to Jesus or not. You see, you can't afford to be wrong. You say, well, preacher, what if you're wrong? Then if I'm wrong, I just read it to you from the book. I'm here to tell you today, folks, listen, the final shout's coming. The trumpet's going to sound. You can't afford to be wrong. And if you're here today and you reject the preaching of the Word of God and you walk out that door and the Lord returns this afternoon, there will be no more grace for you. You will be sent strong delusion and believe a lie. You will be damned forever. Say, preacher, those are pretty strong words. I didn't say it. The Scripture said it. I don't want that for you. If Jesus came back this afternoon, you say, well, I'll just run back to the church tonight. Ain't gonna be nobody preaching. Because you know what? If you weren't interested in preaching now, why are you going to be interested in preaching afterwards? You won't. See, here's what we do. We fool ourselves. We think we're going to do this. You're not. And you know how I know that? Because when you go back and you talk about the rich man and Lazarus, remember, the rich man said, hey, listen, I have five brothers. They're without God. Hey, if you'll send Lazarus, raise him from the dead, send him to my brothers, they'll trust Jesus. You know what Abraham said? No, they won't. He said, they have Moses and the prophets. You say, what's that? They got the Word. And if they're not going to believe the Word, they're not going to believe though one rose from the dead. So you know what? We got a bunch of people running around saying, well, you know what? If I miss the first one, I'll catch the second train up. There won't be no second train. It's a one-way trip, my friend. We need to be on the first one. Because if we're not, we're now accountable for the truth. Would you bow your heads for just a moment this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one's looking around. How many can say, preacher, I know I'm born again. No question about it. I put my faith and trust in Jesus. And if the final shout took place today, I would ascend and be forever with the Lord. You say, that's me. So let's put your hand way up high. Say, that's me, preacher. No question about it. I know I've been born into the family of God. All right, wonderful. You can put your hands down. Father, I'm going to guess probably 95% of the auditorium this morning raised their hand and said that they were truly born-again believers. And Father, I pray this morning that for those of us that are, those of us that have put our faith and trust in Christ, that, Father, that we would comfort one another with these words of that blessed hope of the coming of Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord God, this morning that you would move in such a way that, Lord, you would stir the saints of God. Lord, we ought to be filling these altars up this morning, crying out unto you, asking you, Lord, for the power to reach family and friends for the glory of God. Because if the final shout took place today, some of our family members would be doomed without God forever. We have the message. We have the answer. Please, would you stir us as believers to do right? Now, with heads bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking but me. How many this morning would just be honest? Just be honest, we're in church. How many this morning would be honest and say, Pastor, I've got to admit that if the sound of the trumpet and the shout of the archangel took place today, I got to be honest, preacher. I have some doubt where I'd go to be with the Lord. I don't know for sure if I died I'd go to heaven. But you would say, preacher, pray for me. You'd let me pray for you this morning. I want you to be honest. Now, we're talking about your soul. We're talking about the most precious possession you have. And you only get one shot at it. How many would say, preacher, I cannot honestly say that if I died today or the shout took place, I can't honestly say that heaven's my home. But you'd let me pray for you. No one's looking but me. This is a private moment. How many would say, preacher, that's me. I want you to slip your hand way up high. God bless you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and who else? And you. You can put your hands down and say, preacher, I got to be honest. And you, God bless you. There's five who will join these five. Say, preacher, that's me. That's me. I'll be honest before God. If I died today or the final shout took place, I cannot honestly say that heaven is my home. How many would say, preacher, that's me. Pray for me. Who will join these? Slip your hand way up high with me. Slip it up, slip it up, slip it up. God bless you. All right, you can put your hands down. Anybody else will join these few? Who will join these few? Who else? Who else? All right. Then if you're here this morning, say, preacher, I've already been saved, but I've never been baptized after I got saved. I know it's in the Bible. I know it's the right thing to do. You say, preacher, would you pray for me? That's what I need to do now is obey God in believer's baptism and identify myself with Jesus Christ. How many would say, preacher, I know it's the right thing to do. Never done it, but I know it's the right thing to do. Pray for me. I want you to slip your hand way up high. Say, that's me. That's me. All right? God bless you. You can put your hand down. How many will join this one? Say, preacher, I've already been saved, never been baptized, but I know it's the right thing to do. Anybody else? Just slip it up. Let me pray for you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? All right? Then one last thing. How many would say, preacher, I got to be honest with you. I've been living my life and not really looking toward the coming of Christ, not really looking to that final shout, not really looking to the sound of the trumpet and the announcement of the coming of Jesus Christ. How many would be honest and say, preacher, I need prayer? I've kind of been living for myself, kind of been focused on things of this earth and not focused on things above. How many would say, preacher, pray for me? That's me. I'm going to slip your hand way up high. Be honest, be honest, be honest, be honest. All over the auditorium, all over. God bless you. You can put your hands down. The Father, we need to refocus. Believers this morning need to refocus on the most important things in life today. And that is the coming of Jesus. That is loved ones and relatives and friends, Lord God, that are without Christ, and yet we have the message. And Lord, it's up to us. You're going to use us to convey that wonderful message of Christ to them. Father, there's no question in my mind, your coming is very soon. We believe, Lord, in the imminent return of Christ. We believe, Lord, that it could take place today. There's nothing that has to be fulfilled. There's no scripture that has to be fulfilled or prophecy to be fulfilled until you come. It's all fulfilled. Now we have to look toward that eastern sky and anticipate it. And yet, Lord, as believers, we're to comfort one another with these words. Bless these people. I pray for those who raised their hand and said they needed to know the Lord. They needed to be saved. And I pray today, Lord God, please, please don't let them leave this building without coming today and knowing how to be saved. They will be held accountable. I pray for those this morning, Lord, that may have raised their hand and knew deep down in their heart that they haven't had a born-again experience with Christ. Lord, there might be some here that are pretenders. There might be some here, Lord, that are professors and not possessors. If that be the case, convict, I pray, in such a strong way that, Lord God, that today they would come to the altar today and make it right. And then, Lord, there were a few that raised their hands and said they need to be baptized. Move in their lives as well. And we'll commend this invitation, Lord God, into your hands, asking you to have your will and way through it all. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray it. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet right now? I'm going to ask Brother Shaddix to begin to play. If you raised your hand, would you make your way? This is your opportunity. Listen, God didn't send you to this service this morning by mistake. I'm here to tell you the shout of the archangel could take place before the evening service. You say, well, I'll wait till the evening service. Don't wait. Don't wait. This is your opportunity. Would you come? For those of you that raised your hand, say, preacher, I need to be saved. You're going to be held accountable for the message. Don't put it off. You come. You come. Some of you said, preacher, I've already been saved, never been baptized. Don't put it off. This is your opportunity to come this morning and obey God. You come on. Come on. Some of you said, preacher, I've been living for myself. I haven't been anticipating the coming of Christ. I've been focused on things of this earth. Listen, folks, that's a time that we need to come down and ask God to change our view and change our focus onto the things that are most important. You see, the next great event on God's calendar is the return of His Son, Jesus Christ. My great fear, church, is this, that if the final shout took place this morning, my great fear is there would be a great number of people that would be left in the pew this morning. We're not going to fake our way into heaven. We're not going to pretend our way into heaven. We're going to get there by true and genuine possession of Jesus Christ. If you don't know how to do that this morning, you come. You come. Maybe God's moving in your life. Maybe you're visiting this morning and you feel God's leadership to come and join this church and serve God.